Shmuel Beis Perkei Pasuk Chav. Vayavo David Bival Pirotzim Vayakem Sham David. So David, who had asked the Urim V'Tumim, should I attack the Plishtim, immediately did so, because David does not wait around. So David came to Baal Perotzim, which, as I mentioned last time, some say was a mountain or a hill. And so the Plishti had sent some of their troops up on top of the mountain, and the rest of them were going to be down in the Emek Rephaim, in the valley of Rephaim below. And so David immediately went up and attacked them in Perotzim. Others say that the word Perotzim, plural, means that God's enemies are going to be scattered, including not only the human enemies, but also the Malach who represented the Plishtim on high, that he was going to be struck as well. And so David smote them there. Vayomer Paratz Hashemes Oyvai Lefonai Keferetz Mayim. That's an oblique reference to the Malachim, according to that opinion. David said, Hashem has severed, has cut off Paratz to Olecha Paratz. We're going to see that one again in a couple of Prakim, but referring to a Jew, unfortunately. Breached, has cut my enemies. That's why my Paratz to Olecha Paratz, as the reference to Yehuda's son Paratz. God has cut off my enemies before me like the crashing of waters. So, Keferetz Mayim, like crashing waves, like crashing waters. I don't know if that's drowning them. It was compared to the idea of water kind of streaming through a narrow crack between boulders and comes gushing out of there. So that's the point where the flow is actually the strongest. When you see water, you know, the geyser exploding out, that's when you know that it's really at its strongest force. And so this Baal Perotzim, Al King, Karosh, Shema Mokamahu, Baal Perotzim, and that's why he called that place Baal Perotzim, the master of the cutting off victories. Chavala Bayazvu Shamas Atzabehem, Bayisoyim David Anoshav. So what did they leave there? So they left their Getchkis. Atzabehem, Kesef Bezahav, we say in Hallel. They left their idols, the Philistines. So this is showing us the Mefarshim, it's a wonderful, wonderful point, showed the complete uselessness, passivity, lack of power of idol worship. When David and his men are shechting Arayim the Plishtim, what do? They run away and they leave the Getchkes there. They leave the idols there. That's absolute and total humiliation and shows the complete worthlessness of those idols. If the idols had any power, if they had any value, surely they would have taken them with them. But they have to flee without even their idols. And this unequivocally proves the worthlessness of Avodah Zarah. It's a very fitting Midah Keneged Midah for the fact the Plishtim hung Shaul's head in the temple of their idol, of Dagon. The Plishtim took the Aron and put it before the idol of Dagon, although that was potentially trying to honor it. But you see how little Dagon, the fish god, means, and how little any of their gods mean. So then it says that David and his men carried them off, which leads to the question, what are David and his men doing carrying off Avodah Zarah, whose hana'ah, whose benefit is expressly forbidden in HaTorah? You can't get any hana'ah out of idols. What's the point of taking the idols? So the Gemara explains that Itai Hagiti, one of the Plishtim, had joined David's forces, apparently without converting yet, and so he nullified the idols, because if any non-Jew nullifies the idol, then they are no longer considered Avodah Zarah. They're considered passe. They are not Avodah Zarah in active worship. And so then Hana'ah is mutter and you don't have to burn them. A Jew cannot void an idol and take away its status as an active Avodah Zarah. Only a non-Jew can do that. So Itai Hagiti, who was marching with the Jews, did so. And that meant that the rest of the Jews could take these idols with them. So in Divrei HaYamim, when they tell this story, it actually says that they burned the idols. So some say it was a two-part process, that the idols that they initially found, they burned. And when Itai came over to their side and nullified the rest of them, then they carried them off and used them to prove how little idol worship really means. But unlike many of the enemies of the Jewish people, the Plishtim are not quite done yet. So, by Yosifu Wod Plishtim Lalos, the Plishtim continued to come up yet again. And Vayinotru Beimek Rephaim. You didn't learn. And so they spread themselves out in Emek Rephaim, which is quite arrogant, because David had quite easily dealt with them last time. And yet, here they're going to do the same thing again, which is proof of futility when you do the same thing and end up with the same result more than one time. Now, not all the warriors were so excited about going back, and that's why it does not say Vayosifu Od Kol Plishtim. Earlier, it said that the entire Plishti nation had come looking for the Pasuk. Vayalu Kol Plishtim, it said last time, back in Pasuk Yud Zayin. But this time, it says Vayosifu Od Plishtim. Some Plishtim. The Plishtim. Only a portion of them were arrogant enough to try the same thing twice.